And welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tocchini. This is our special author's corner. Our special guest today is J.P. Coolwine. He has written a book called Rethinking Prestige Branding. J.P., welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
J.P., tell us about yourself and your career journey.
Sure. Right now, I'm a director for premium innovation at Procter & Gamble. You know that company. Up until January, I was running Frédéric Fekkai for them, which is a luxury hair care company. We successfully divested that brand, as I said, as of January. I'm also an external director at Smith & Norble, which is a luxury eyewear maker. They hand make horn glass frames. And I'm an author. Of a book, like I said, called Rethinking Prestige Branding, Secrets of the Uber Brands, which has been a lot of fun. And there's a lot of lecturing at universities and speaking linked to that.
You have practiced mass marketing at P&G. Tell us specifically, what is Uber marketing?
Right. So I'm German, as you can hear from my accent. And Uber in German means above and beyond. There's a concept in philosophy about Uber people, call it the Superman, if you like. And those are people who rise above kind of daily living and just sustaining themselves and are able to bring humanity forward. So translating that to brands, we're talking about brands that are more than performance and price, more than functionality and utility, but provide also meaning to the person owning this product, service, or receiving the service and this brand. So these are brands that elevate themselves beyond the material.
So practicing Uber versus mass marketing, what do you think are the key differences?
Yeah, so if I buy a motor oil, I'm not very involved with my car's engine. I'm not that kind of a guy. There are lots of them. So for me, motor oil is pretty much a commodity transaction. And I would not pay much attention. I would look for what probably is the leader in that segment, at least from my memory, which would be impacted by advertising, by physical presence on the shelf, and I would grab that brand. However, if I'm involved in outdoor sports, which I am, or I'm a foodie, then I put a lot more thinking into, for example, my choice of ingredients or my choice of outdoor garments. And there I'm a big fan, for example, of the Patagonia brand, which goes beyond just offering garments, but also pursues a concept of trying not to destroy the nature you explore in your outdoor activities. And I very much subscribe to that. So I almost feel like I'm donating to a good cause in addition to acquiring a garment when I buy Patagonia. And that is what Uber brands are all about.
It's that extra value. There's a bit of paradox in what you're saying. Do you thrive on paradoxes?
Absolutely. I guess you have to if you work for a mass market and at the same time you're interested in prestige branding. I tell you one paradox or one question we always come across is obviously the mantra of mass marketing is consumer is boss. On the other hand, when you look at some of the great brands, like let's say Apple, for example, and it reaches as far back as Henry Ford, Steve Jobs or Henry Ford would tell you, well, if I listened to the consumer and the consumer was boss, then I would have invented, a faster horse carriage or, a quicker computer. But in fact, obviously, Apple has created what we would call an Uber brand, i.e. it goes far beyond that. It stands for creativity, personal freedom, entertainment, and so on. So is the consumer boss or is the brand boss is one of those paradoxes that I love to play with. And I think the truth is somewhere in the middle.
This reminds me of one of the brands shown on Shark Tank. And it's like you often have to up your game. Maybe it's like the beef jerky that they were trying to pitch to the sharks that was made of filet mignon.
Yeah. I want to clarify that Google brands don't necessarily need to be luxury items, okay? But mm-hmm. what is nice is that if you make your brand about more than just a utilitarian benefit, then people are increasingly willing to spend a bit more and to focus less on price. So and that is why a lot of these brands are premium priced or even in luxury. So just to clarify, why should you be interested? Well, unless you're an incredible low-cost producer and don't mind that, let's say, the Amazons or Costcos, run your business on price mainly, you want to imbue some meaning in your brand that takes consumers' minds away from just considerations of price. So there certainly is a very valid place and huge business to be made in the more commoditized mass product area. But many smaller brands, many startups, frankly, cannot afford to compete there. They don't have the scale, they don't have the technology to produce at that low price. So they're better off to offer more than just performance. Also, performance can be IP'd, it can be protected. You can have a Viagra and it's a fantastic business without much need for, imbuing meaning beyond this product. Everyone wants to have it. But all of that protection ends at one point, and that's where these products, think of, for example, the pods for the Nespresso running out of patent. That's when these products need to prove that they are more than just a physical object.
Exactly. Don't you think, JP, that your philosophy expands well into the service industry because you can provide a white glove approach in providing services to a client just as well as you could a consumer packaged good?
Absolutely. One of my favorite examples is, for example, Vanguard, if you're familiar with them. They're an investment provider. They are very low cost. They are, in fact, said to be the inventor or one of the inventors of the idea of the index fund and have driven that. And, one of their main advantages is that they're very low cost index funds at a fraction of what usually funds charge. So they, in fact, are a mass marketer and they're one of the biggest fund providers in the world. On the other hand, though, there's a lot more to them. There's a whole philosophy around the investment philosophy of Bogle, the founder, and Vanguard today, which is all about a diversified portfolio, not getting in and out and trying to time the market, preparing yourself for retirement, saving regularly. That company goes as far as organizing itself for that, being owned by the fund owners, not by some other listed company or even a private owner, and trying to be as transparent as possible. So here again, you even have a mass offering, if you like, or what they hope to be a mass offering and became one, but they're also so much more. They're about truly caring for their investors.
And that's the big distinction. When you go out on speaking engagements, I know that the audience loves to hear about your core principles. Share a little bit of that with our listening audience today.
Yeah, so we, in our book, Rethinking Prestige Branding, we talk about seven principles. And we split them into mission and myth, which are closely related, balancing longing and belonging not selling your product, but rather creating seduction. And then finally, the need for truth. So those are three overarching themes. What is it all about? Mission and myth is about having more to your existence as a company, a service provider, as a brand, than just making money. And you know many examples today. It started with kind of the hip ones like the Toms, which gives, one pair for every pair you buy to developing markets for kids to go to school, or Warby Parker. But there are also long-standing brands, like, let's say, even Ben & Jerry's, now owned by Unilever, that stand for more than ice cream. They try to heal society while doing business. That has been their mantra since 2 years into their existence, so a good 20-plus years long. So mission is a key element. And then myth is a higher level of storytelling. A good story is good, and everyone in marketing talks about that, but a myth really gets you one step higher. It's about themes that people have always, through the ages, been interested in. You know, things like what comes at the end of the universe, or, you know, why do we die, or, you know, why do boys love their mom, or whatever. If your product can have a mythical aspect to it, its story will live so much longer, and many brands elevate themselves. Let's say Elon Musk and Tesla is becoming a myth in itself. The second big area we talk about is unselling. It's so much better to seduce and to be attractive rather than do the hard sell. And a lot of particular luxury companies, but many others, have understood that, particularly in today's post economic crisis world. You have to play with the wish of everyone to belong and everyone to be part of something bigger. But if you want to charge for a premium, you also always need to protect a want, i.e. a wish to, a longing for more. And the best companies are able to balance that. The product is always a big part, needs to be part of your manifestation, and for sure needs to perform and needs to be outstanding and iconic. And then finally, you need to live actually this mission and myth. Consumers nowadays look behind the scene and check whether you actually live up to that bigger purpose. And I talked about Patagonia earlier. You look at the organization, people get sabbaticals to work for NGOs that engage in environmental protection. You can look behind the scenes of that brand and that company, and it feels true. And the same for many of the other companies we talk about in our book.
So where can our listeners find out more information?
They can just write to me at jp@uberbrands.com. And as it should be, that's spelled with a U-E. So it's uberbrands.com. Or they can go on WordPress and look at our blog, which is also called Uber Brands, U-E-B-E-R Brands. And get all the information there, including where to get the book, which obviously you can get on Amazon and all fine bookstores.
Excellent. Well, we will watch for more opportunities from JP. We appreciate you being on the show today, JP.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. It was a lot of fun.
1511 to 1514. Thanks again to JP Coolwine for being on our show. We always find JP quite interesting, and he brings a perspective of someone from Europe, someone who's been in prestige brands, but someone who's also had their foot in with a CPG company like Procter & Gamble. So we really appreciate his perspective and his point of view, especially when it comes to design. I'm Rick Tocchini. We hope that you enjoyed today's show. As we always say, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week. So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasine@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program. And thanks to our sponsor, Gracefully Yours greeting cards and their hilarious Church Kitchen Lady cards. Church Kitchen Ladies are a bunch of maybe 20 million volunteers across the United States that work in 300,000 churches, and they say stuff like, mind your own biscuits and life will be gravy. They also say, crunch tacos, not abs. And psst, you're crazy is showing, you might want to tuck that back in. And one of our favorites is, life is short, lick the bowl. If you want to find out more about the wonderful Church Kitchen Ladies and join their roundtable, go to gracefully-yours.com today. and find out about Church Kitchen Ladies and purchase all the rest of the fine, graceful Yours greeting cards.